Lord, we declare that you are great and greatly to be praised. And as we opened up today's service welcoming you here, we thank you that you have honored our request and you have honored us with your presence. So we thank you that you are here today to lead, guide, teach, and to provide miracles in our lives. We come with open hearts ready to receive your goodness today. And we thank you that you open up our hearts to receive all of your goodness. Every good gift, every perfect gift is ours in Christ Jesus. So we receive from you and we come expectant to receive from you. And if you believe that, say amen.
Amen,
amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, open your Bibles to John chapter 14. We are going to continue talking about the Holy Spirit, which I believe the Lord has commissioned us to do for this entire year. Praise the Lord. So we are camping on the Holy Spirit and talking about Him up one way and down the other. Amen. And you know what we're basically doing? We're trying to get us on the other side of the ditch. Amen. Because so many churches spend so little time talking about Him. We're just going to talk about Him over the top. Amen. Till we become more and more sensitive to His presence in our lives and the things He provides in our lives. Amen. And that's what this particular series we're on right now is all about. We call it the commission of the Holy Spirit, meaning what the Holy Spirit is assigned to do. What is He called to do in our lives? Because the Bible teaches us that there are some very specific things that the Holy Spirit will do for us. And the reason why we're talking about this is because the Bible teaches us very clearly in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And you know that it specifically applies to all the little things that the Word of God says. So if you want to have more faith for, say, healing, then what do you need to be hearing? God's Word concerning healing. So if we want to have more faith concerning the commission of the Holy Spirit and what He'll do for us, guess what we need to do? We need to hear more about what the Holy Spirit will do for us. Not going into this with the mentality and the mindset that, oh, I know that. I know that He'll do those different things, and almost get a little perturbed that we're talking about things that might just be basic to you. Listen, if you have that attitude, you don't know it the way you need to know it. I can just promise you. When you get a hold of the truth and it's living in your heart, you don't want to hear it less, you want to hear it more. Amen. You will be excited about hearing about it. So that's why we're camping on this, so that we can learn more about the Holy Spirit and what He is assigned to do in our life. Praise the Lord. So in part one of this particular series, we talked about the general commission of the Holy Spirit. We looked at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, where the Apostle Peter, in talking about this great salvation that we have, said that this gospel was preached to us by who? By those who preach the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Sent from heaven. And we found out the word sent comes from the Greek word apostello, where we get our word apostle from. Amen. So you could essentially call the Holy Spirit our own personal divine apostle. Amen. See, so many of us would love to have the Apostle Paul next to us or the Apostle Peter next to us to teach us, but you got something better. You got the one that enabled them to do the good things they did living on the inside of you. Therefore, you have the capability living on the inside of you to be taught like they were taught, to be reminded as they were reminded, to be used by God in the way they were used. So it's on us then. We just need to yield more to the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to open up our hearts and invite the Holy Spirit's full ministry into our life. So then we began talking about some specific things that the Holy Spirit is commissioned to do. We looked at John chapter 14, I believe it's verse 16, where it talks about another helper will be given to us. And the first thing Jesus said about the Holy Spirit is that He will abide with us forever. And you know why that's important to understand? Because Jesus was in the midst of telling His disciples, I'm about to be leaving you. So He's basically encouraging them and saying something to the effect of, hey guys, I know I'm telling you I'm leaving and I've only been with you for these 3.5 years, but this other helper that's going to come that's just like me, He's not going to leave you in 3.5 years. He's going to stick with you. Showing us that the Holy Spirit's not flighty. Even though we like to liken Him to a dove, He's not quick to fly away from you. When you make a mistake, He has been promised to stick with us, to be our standby and be with us all the time. So just because we don't feel Him, just because we're not necessarily hearing Him the way that we used to, does not mean He's left. It just means that our, you know, the frequencies are always going in the air. You understand that right now, There are signals going throughout this building. There are radio signals and things like that. Just because we don't hear them doesn't mean they're not in here, right? It just might mean that our tuner, right? Our receiver is not fixed the way it needs to be. So what we're talking about here is learning how to fix the receiver on the inside of us so that we're so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that when He tells us to turn left, we turn. When He tells us to turn right, we turn. When He tells us to go speak to this person, we do. And we do it in the full confidence that He'll back us up when we do it. Amen? So, last week, we started off talking about how the Holy Spirit, the first thing Jesus goes into describing specifically that He will do for us is that He will teach us. And we saw that here in John 14. Let's look at verses 25 and 26. Thank you, Jesus. And I just want to, before we get into the scripture, want to thank Brian and Rachel for stepping it up this morning with Oliver being out and for our worship team coming together, being unified, leading us into the presence of the Lord. Thank you, guys. Amen. I'm telling you, I've done just about enough of that to be dangerous, you know, and sing, and it is not easy. Guys, I'm just telling you, when you get up there, when you got all these different moving parts, it takes the grace of God. So we just appreciate everybody that's willing to get up there and serve in that capacity. Amen. John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. Notice what Jesus says. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. Notice that He says these things. And these things that He's referring to here are the things that He spoke to them while being present with them. So these things are essentially everything Jesus had taught them for these 3.5 years, all the time that He had been present with them, right? So He's saying, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you. And then He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things. Now, in an older version of the Bible that I have, a copy of the Bible I have, I wrote in there and basically said that what Jesus was saying here was this. Jesus said, I taught you these things while being present with you, but when the Holy Spirit comes, He will teach you all things. He picked up where Jesus left off. You know, Jesus couldn't teach the disciples everything that He wanted to. For one, He didn't have all the time to do it. He was one person living in a natural body, so He wasn't able to teach like the Holy Spirit's able to teach us. He didn't have all the time. Plus, they were unregenerate. They hadn't been born again yet, and it takes a spiritual person to understand spiritual truth. Amen. And in fact, we looked over in John chapter 16 and verse 12, where Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And we found out the word bear could be translated to handle. Amen. In other words, you're not able to handle them. Why? Because you're not at a place spiritually yet to where you've had the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you to where you're able to be taught the way that I want to teach you. And you remember I used the example of it'd be like you taking a little 5-year-old to Longhorns this afternoon. Now, I'm not going to lose you, am I, if I start talking about lunch? Am I? You can't take a 5-year-old to Longhorns and feed them a big old T-bone steak. Why? Because they can't handle it yet, right? Likewise, if we are spiritually immature, there's certain things that we're not going to be able to learn and receive from the Lord. That's why we want to grow up in Him so we can be taught by Him. Amen. So Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will come and He will teach you all things. But I want you to notice a little phrase here in verse 26 of John 14. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name. Interesting phrase there. Does this mean that God the Father sat up in heaven after Jesus was raised from the dead and ascended to His right hand, and God the Father says, Holy Spirit, go to the earth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That's probably not what happened there. But that's our limited understanding of what it means to do things in His name. I'm here to tell you today that to do things in the name of the Lord is not just to tack on at the end of your prayer, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me give you an example. Say you were praying and you'd missed it and you'd made some mistakes. And so you go and you say, oh Lord, you know I'm just a low-down, dirty sinner. And you know that I'm weak in myself and I make all these mistakes and all these different things. So I ask you, oh Lord, please give me a little blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Did that person just pray in Jesus' name? No. They just prayed in their name. In their place, in who they are. No, the way you pray in Jesus' name is by essentially saying, Lord, I thank you, even though I'm weak, even though I've missed it, I thank you. Jesus is bigger. Jesus is faithful, even when I'm faithless. I thank you for the blood that's washed me, and I thank you I stand in your righteousness. So that's what I approach you on right now, so I ask you to do such and such. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. I just prayed in Jesus' name, because why? I'm praying in his stead, in his place. It's not me praying. It's like Jesus is praying. Amen. It'd be like me praying for somebody that was sick. If on the inside, I'm not verbalizing these things, but on the inside, somebody comes up to me for prayer, and I say, oh man, Lord, I don't have the goods for this. I'm not able to pray for him. You know I missed it. I hadn't been praying like I need to. I hadn't been in the Word and all these different things. But then I say, Lord, please heal them in Jesus' name. Amen. I did not pray in Jesus' name, did I? I was praying in my name because I was focused on who I was. So what's your point, Pastor? Here's my point. The Father will send the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. So what does that mean? He's sending the Holy Spirit in Jesus' place, in Jesus' stead. So if we're doing things in the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit was sent in the name of Jesus, then I'd venture to say we're in pretty good company. We're doing things like the Holy Spirit's doing them. So just as Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one, operating, doing one ministry together, that's where we stand. So when I'm praying and doing things in Jesus' name, guess what's happening? It's just like the Holy Spirit's got all the authority back in him up to do everything Jesus did, so do I. And that's the confidence that we have in him. Praise the Lord. So, he will teach you all things. Amen. And we talked about how the Holy Spirit, everything that he came to teach, the disciples. Now notice Jesus is talking to his 12 disciples right here. He's saying, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. I've already said these things to you while being present with you. What were those things? Essentially, you could say those were the things contained in the Gospels. Because that's the summarization of everything Jesus taught. All things here that the Holy Spirit would end up teaching them are the things we have in the epistles. Amen. So what are we seeing right here? This is how this applies to us. We have the Gospels, everything Jesus has said to us, and we've got the epistles, all the things that the Holy Spirit would wind up teaching his apostles. That's what the Holy Spirit will teach us. So we went over to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27, a very misunderstood verse. You can turn over there. It says, but the anointing which you have received. Do we have that one, Debbie? I'll turn over there. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. He says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. See, he remains in you. And you do not need that anyone would teach you. Now, people have run with this verse and saying, see, you don't need nobody to teach you. All you got is the Holy Spirit. So we got all these lone wolves, these eagles that fly alone out there that just think all they have to have is the Holy Spirit to teach them. Well, then why did the Lord give us pastors, evangelists, and teachers and so forth in the body of Christ, right? That would be a conflict in terms. No, all this is saying is, if you've got the Holy Spirit, you don't have to have anyone teach you. If you're stranded on the Isle of Patmos, alone with the Lord, and you have no teaching tapes to listen to, no church to go to, then guess what? You got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, and you can still be taught. But that doesn't mean that it's not beneficial to have somebody else who has the same spirit you have teaching you. Amen? And you remember I used the example of changing your oil, since we're talking about anointing oil here. Many people out there will say, well, I have to have somebody change my oil for me. Because why? They've never learned how to change their own oil. But I venture to say that if you're stranded in a desert somewhere, and you got the tools, you got the oil, and you got the information of how to change it, if you're stranded out there and life and death are before you, you're going to learn how to change that oil on your own. Every person in here is capable of being able to do it. So you don't have to have somebody to change your oil for you, but it sure helps to have somebody changing it, because most of us would ruin our whole Memorial Day weekend trying to learn how to change the oil. So the best thing to do would be to learn from those who have the same spirit. And that's why he says here, you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing. Say same anointing. See, this is the best way to be taught by the Lord. You develop communion with the anointing that lives on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit. You have a relationship with him. You've learned to be taught by him. And then you go and listen to those who have the same spirit you have that are teaching by the gift of God that's put on the inside of them, and now you're in the best possible position to be taught by the Lord. Because why? You got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you with the Spirit on them, and it's showing you what you need to learn. But I notice this. He says, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. Now that's a little bit different terminology than we saw over in John 14, verses 25 and 26, because Jesus said the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Here, the Apostle John says he will teach you concerning all things. And I believe there's a couple of reasons for this. Number one, I believe it's because all those things are the things that the Lord revealed to the apostles that are in the epistles. Amen? So what the Holy Spirit's job is to teach you concerning all the things he had already revealed to them. In other words, he's going to teach you out of these letters in the New Testament. Amen? But I believe it means something else. That if you're not hearing good teaching, that if you're hearing bad teaching, and somebody's saying something that's wrong, if you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, guess what you got? You've got the one on the inside of you to show you, oh, that's wrong because of this. How many of you ever sat in church before? Of course, not in this church. I'm talking about another church. And you heard the preacher saying something, and he's going through all this, and then all of a sudden, you start having all these other scriptures coming to you, showing you why what they're saying is wrong. Where do you reckon you're getting that from? The Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, amen. So he'll teach you from what is good, and he'll teach you from what's bad. So you should always be learning, amen. So that's why we're looking at this, is that the Holy Spirit will then teach you. But now go back to John 14, 26, because I want you to notice he added another little phrase here that we should get something from. Again, Jesus said in verse 25, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And notice this, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, this is important for us to understand. Who's he talking to here? His disciples. Now, you understand that his disciples weren't carrying around cassette players, as old as cassette players may seem now. They didn't have them 2,000 years ago. They didn't even have notepads or pens to be able to write all these things down. It would have been very uncommon for somebody to have some parchment paper and was actually recording this. No, they weren't taking notes back then. So what Jesus was assuring them of is all of the things that I have already said to you, not only is the Holy Spirit going to teach you new things that you couldn't bear now, but the Holy Spirit's also going to bring to your remembrance all the things that I did say to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit's going to give you supernatural recall. Hallelujah. I'm going to go ahead and lose this. Bob, I'm going to get on the handheld mic. We're having some problems with this mic. Are we there? There we go. Hallelujah. So he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. All right, so that's how it applies to the disciples. He's basically telling them, I'm going to remind you everything. So all four Gospels, this is the way we need to understand this. Everything that's recorded in these four Gospels are the things the Holy Spirit reminded Peter and John and all these guys that recorded these Gospels to show to us. They are the fulfillment, the literal fulfillment of the Holy Spirit reminding them all things. But how does this apply to us? How is it applied to us that then the Holy Spirit will remind to us all the things that the Holy Spirit has said to us? Well, in essence, it would be like him reminding you all the things Jesus said to his disciples. Let me give you an example of what this might look like. Say you go to lunch today. See, I'm talking about lunch again. Don't let me lose you. Stick with me. And you go to the restaurant, and there's somebody that's sitting at the table next to you, and your heart just goes out to go minister to them. So you get up and go over and you start talking to them and they start telling you about things they're going through. And because the revelation knowledge that you are receiving at High Point Church about the Holy Spirit and his partnership together with you is living so vibrantly in your heart, you're just bubbling over to want to tell everybody else how to have communion with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So you go to them and you say, yeah, you need the Holy Spirit, honey. Have you ever been baptized with the Holy Spirit? No, I've heard a little bit about that Holy Spirit thing before, and I've gone to those churches before, and those people are weird. They swing from the chandeliers, and they're blabbing out in this language I've never heard before, and it's strange. And so they're a little bit scared of receiving about this divine person of the Holy Spirit you're telling them about. So you're like, oh, Lord, what do I say to a person like this? And then something just bubbles up on the inside of you. Out of Luke chapter 11, where Jesus said, seek and you will find, ask and it will be given to you. And then he goes on to say, for whom of you that are fathers, if their son asked for bread, would give him a stone? If they asked for an egg, would give him a scorpion? And then it goes on to say, how, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So this just comes up in your heart while you're ministering to this person. So guess what you do? You verbalize it and say, are you a parent? Yeah? I said, if your kid ever asked you for something good, like an egg or some eggs or bread or something to drink, would you give them something that would hurt them? And they say, no, I would never do that. So if you being evil know how to do that, not to give bad things to them, how much more will your heavenly Father, if you ask him for the Holy Spirit, not give you anything wrong? Did you know what the Holy Spirit just did in that situation? He just fulfilled his commission to remind you of all the things Jesus has said to us by bringing up in your heart what he had already said in the Gospels. Amen. So, it's like reminding us of the four Gospels, but then there's also the application of this of all the things the Lord has spoken directly to you individually. Have you ever had the Lord speak something to you? Like, for example, this example just came up in my heart, and it might be the Holy Spirit for somebody in here. Say you were battling with kidney stones, and it was always plaguing you that these kidney stones just kept coming up, and you went to the Lord about it, and you were like, God, what's going on here? Why? I'm trying to believe you in the best I know how, and I just keep struggling with these things. They keep coming back. And then something just comes up in the inside of you about potassium. And then you have somebody else that comes and tells you about some supplement they're taking to increase the potassium in their life. But you just write it off because that's just too natural. I'm asking the Lord, he's the healer, right? So what's potassium got to do with anything? And so you just write it off and go about your business, but to continue to struggle with the kidney stones. And then a couple of years later, you're finally just frustrated. I'm still dealing with this. And you go back to the Lord and you're like, God, why do I keep struggling with these? And then you're reminded about the word potassium. And then it dawns on you, oh, that might have been the Holy Spirit talking to me yesterday about this might be the answer for the kidney stones. So what did I just get? Reminded of the things the Lord had spoken to me. But these aren't the only ways the Holy Spirit speaks to you. It might be like this. It might be that you were in church and you were struggling, like you were here this morning and you're just struggling with something and going around the same mountain, it seems like. And somebody comes up to you and gives you a prophetic word that says, the Lord's going to take you to the other side. And you know it's the Lord because everything in you just bore witness to that prophetic word that you had received from the Holy Spirit through that person. But then some time elapses and you're still going around the same mountains and you're still struggling with the same thing, and you, as the tendency it is with us, to lay aside the words that we did hear, not to continue to stir ourselves up with those things, and you put that thing aside. And then you get weary and well-doing, and you're struggling again. And then you get before the Lord and just pour out your heart to him and say, Lord, how long am I going to be struggling with this, and what's going on? And then just a gentle little reminder, almost like it's your own thought, comes up on the inside of you that reminds you, I'm going to take you to the other side. You remember that word I gave you? So the Holy Spirit's doing what? He's reminding you of the things he has said to you through that vessel. You following me? And it could be vice versa there. It could be that the Lord speaks something to you personally, and then some time elapses, and then somebody comes and gives you a prophetic word that reminds you of the thing he had already told you. Thank God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can any of you testify that this has ever happened to you before? This is what the Holy Spirit is commissioned to do for us. Now turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, and let me show you a good example in the Scriptures of how the Holy Spirit does this. You know, a lot of times these reminders that we get from the Holy Spirit are needed when we're in a trial, when we're in temptation of some sort, and we need something to arm us against the devices of the enemy. And that's why I believe the Apostle Paul gives us these words of encouragement in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I know in this church, if you've been coming here for any period of time, you know that we've camped on the armor of God, and we've talked about some of these things. But guess what? You need to be reminded of them, since we're talking about the reminders of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it says here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, Paul lists all these pieces of our weaponry, the weapons of our warfare, but he only gives us one offensive piece. And that's concluded here in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, it's very interesting to me that he's specifically telling you what your sword is. It is the Word of God, which the word for word here is not logos, the word that describes generally the written Word of God. The word rhema is used here. And there's a lot of ideas about the word rhema, but the word rhema literally describes this, a spoken or quickened word. I think sometimes we err in our understanding of rhema, always thinking it's a Holy Spirit quickened word to us. But it's just generally a spoken word. It can be me talking to you right now. I am giving you rhema. I'm speaking to you. You understand that? So it is the rhema of God, the spoken word of God. So how is it spoken? Notice this. And the sword of the Spirit. Now, why does Paul call our long piece of offensive weaponry the sword of the Spirit? Well, I love the Amplified Bible because I believe it answers the question. The Amplified Bible amplifies this meaning here, and it says it's the sword which the Spirit wields. So who's doing the wielding of the sword? It's the Holy Spirit, not us necessarily. And so basically the way I would describe it is like this. You have a sword in your sheath on your belt. And it's not your job to pull that sword out of its sheath. It's the Holy Spirit's job to pull that sword out and put it in your hand in your time of need. Now, as much as we believe in the positive power of confession and speaking the Word of God, I'm going to tell you the most effective way to speak the Word and have it produce results. For the Holy Spirit to speak that Word to you, and then you speak it out of your mouth. That's why the Bible describes the sword that came out of Jesus' mouth in the book of Revelation as a two-edged sword. And you go look it up in its original language, it literally means a two-mouthed sword. Interesting. Why? Because when it came out of the Holy Spirit's mouth, quickened to you, it came out of God's mouth. But then after you receive that, you need to speak it out of your mouth. And when you speak it out, it puts another sword on there, able to cut through anything the devil has thrown at you. Amen? So you receive it first from the Holy Spirit, then through your mouth. Amen. Now, what's interesting to me then is, what is this essentially when the Holy Spirit does this? A lot of times it's Him reminding you of something. Right? Because what was our belt called? The belt of truth. And what is truth? Well, Jesus is the truth. Guess what else is the truth? The Word, because Jesus is the Word. Amen. So here's a very important thing to understand about this commission of the Holy Spirit. You ready for this? In order to be reminded of something, it is to be understood that you've already heard it. Ding, 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 ding. In other words, if you hadn't heard it, how's the Holy Spirit ever going to remind you of it? Thus the reason we spend time in this book, hiding His Word in our heart, putting the Scriptures on the inside of us, so that when we are in the evil day, when we need a Word to be reminded to us, we've got so much Word hidden on the inside of us, there's plenty for the Holy Spirit to draw from. Now, I hope nobody in here plays the lottery. But I venture to say you've watched on TV before when they have those little drawings pop up, right? And just out of your interest level, not because you're playing the lottery, but because you just want to see what the numbers pop up, you see those big clear plastic bowls and all those little ping pong balls with numbers on them are going around on the inside of them. And there's a lot of numbers on the inside of them, right? And then when they pull the little thing off the top to where the vacuum effect takes place, to where the ball will pop up, what if they only had like two or three of those little ping pong balls in there? Yeah, we could win. Good point. Good one, Liz. Good one. But you know what I can also tell you is we might win, but it might be a while before it pops up. The more of those balls they got in there, the quicker that they are going to pop up because there's more in there for that vacuum to catch. Following what I'm saying? The more scriptures we have hidden in our heart, the more capable we are of having the Holy Spirit remind us when we need it. So in order for the Holy Spirit to fulfill His commission, we got a responsibility is what? To study this word, show ourselves approved, put His scriptures on the inside of us, put more of those scriptures on the inside of us. So we're so jam-packed. So when we got that situation where the little clip needs to be pulled off, boom, there's the scripture. Right when we need it, amen. And then what do? We speak it out of our mouth. Hallelujah. So this is the Holy Spirit giving us a word, a rhema, when we need it. Now, there are a lot of other benefits as well to being reminded. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 3, I believe it is. Is it 3, Debbie? Yeah, 3:1, good. Praise the Lord. This is an awesome verse. One we just glossed through. Notice what Paul says here. Look at this. He says, finally. Now, I just got to say this right here. All us preachers are alike. He's still got 2 chapters left to write, and he says, finally. So all of us preachers are in good company, amen, when we say, in conclusion. And what do we found out what that means? That means nothing. So finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, this is what I think is so good about the Holy Spirit. You ready for this? I'm teaching you how He reminds you, and in the midst of that, I believe He's going to be reminding some of us of some things. Notice this. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. But you know, that's what many of us think reminders are. They're just tedious. They're wearisome. They're burdensome. They're monotonous. You know, have you ever had somebody come to you? Now, don't answer me here, because we don't want everybody to know how carnal you are. But if people have come to you and they remind you of something, have you ever seen what way people react to reminders sometimes? I know, and they roll their eyes. They almost get irritated that people are reminding them of something. You know, you ever seen anybody do that? I'm not talking about you. Have you ever seen anybody do that? Okay. We do that. Why do we do that? Have we ever forgotten anything that was important before? Have we ever dropped the ball on anything? Yes. So are we capable of actually forgetting something sometime? Yeah. So what should our response be when somebody, out of their goodness, is trying to remind us of something so that we don't drop the ball and suffer some hurt from it? What should we say? Thank you for the reminder. Not in a condescending way, but in a way like, thank you, I really appreciate it. I could have forgotten that. I did remember, but I appreciate that. Thank you for reminding me. So reminders are not a tedious thing. They are actually very beneficial, and we're going to see a couple of scriptures that echo that. So he says, for me to write the same things for you is not tedious, but for you it is what? Safe. The word that's used for safe here in the Greek language is where we get our English word asphalt from. Asphalt. So this is the way I would translate it. It's not a tedious, monotonous thing for me to remind you of the things you need to hear, but for you, it will further cement that truth on the inside of you. If you want to really be established in the truth that you're hearing, you need to be reminded of the truth that you've heard. We are fooling ourselves to think we know something just because we heard it one time and we've logged it in our memory bank. That's not how you get cemented in it. In order for His Word to turn into asphalt for us, it needs to what? It needs to have reminding time so that we can get established in it, praise the Lord. And I think it's just interesting, this is where I think the Holy Spirit's in all this, is that what is the thing that He's telling them, it's not tedious for me to remind you of, but it's safe for you to be reminded of? To rejoice in the Lord. Because have you ever found this out in our Christian walk? This is probably one of the number one truths we got to be reminded of. That we're tempted to lay aside and forget because we get our attention on other things. We let the circumstances crowd on the inside of us. And we get down in the mully grubs and we get all depressed and things like that. So we have to hear constantly. And I think it's interesting because in chapter 4, verse 4, He says, rejoice in the Lord again. And again I say rejoice. Right? So one of the number one things you need to be reminded of is that it's time to rejoice. It's time to get happy. It's time to get excited. It's time to praise the Lord. Amen? Why? Because we're tempted to veer off from that truth. So here's a little reminder, a little good God reminder for you this morning. What should you be doing? Rejoicing. Hallelujah. Now go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Because Peter gives us a couple of really good reminders. Interestingly enough, he reminds us twice that it's important for us to be reminded of things. Interesting. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Thank you, Jesus. Peter is talking here. He says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. In other words, I'm reminding you right now, but don't think this is the last time. I'm always going to be reminding you. Though you know and are established in the present truth. Now that's important right there. What that shows is that even if you are truly knowing and experiencing a truth and you're severely established on it, you still need to be reminded. Why? Because that's what's going to keep you knowing it and keep you established in it. Now notice verse 13. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. Now, he says this again in chapter 3. Let's go to that verse, Debbie. Of the same letter, chapter 3. 2 Peter 3. It's in verse 1. He says, beloved, I now write to you this in the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. So what's the benefit of being reminded of something? It stirs you up. Have you ever cooked some soup before and you got that big old bowl? I mean, I have never cooked soup, but I've watched people do it. And you've got this big old bowl and what do? They just got to stir it. Because if they don't stir it, what happens? You'll get this film on the top of it. In order for it to be as tasty and as fresh, it'll burn too. In order for it to be as tasty and as fresh as you need it to be, you gotta what? Stir it. See, some of us, I fear, have let the truth become stagnant in our life. And it's because we have not stirred up our pure minds by way of reminder. We haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to remind us of those things and say, oh, okay, I need to hear that again. Yeah, thank you, Lord. And we're getting ourselves stirred up in it. So what does it do? It further establishes you in the present truth that you have. And what else does it do? It stirs up your pure minds. It keeps it fresh on you. And we need that, do we not? We need the Holy Spirit to provide His ministry in our lives to stir us up, establish us, and to remind us of all these good and godly things that the Lord has given us. Amen? So how does it work? Number one, you got to hear it the first time. Amen? And then we have to be open. Now, I'm here to tell you, this happens a lot of times, and I've learned this through preaching for enough years, I've realized how this works. That the quality of the message is only as good as the quality of the hearers. I'm telling you, I've been to certain places, and because of the hunger and the desire and the draw that's from the people, that they just pull more out of you, and you can just feel the Lord going out towards them. I mean, I've gone overseas and preached in places to where people were sitting on the edge of their seat. I remember I went to India this one particular time and was teaching this pastor's conference, and they like to position the preachers up on the stage. And there was this guy who in South India was basically like their Billy Graham. He was there. I mean, this guy knew a lot, and he was looked upon. He was revered and things like that. This guy comes to me after the message and starts showing me all the notes that he had taken from what this young preacher had just said. Now, I'll tell you, I could go to pastors' conferences in the United States of America, and if I was invited to go speak at them, I'm sure I would get something to the effect of some of these ministers would be sitting back with their arms crossed. All right, young buck, let's see what you can teach me that I don't know. What's that person open to receive? Nothing. Our willingness to be present to let the Holy Spirit teach us and expectant that I'm going to hear something from the Lord. I would encourage you to do this, that when you show up here, instead of just sitting there waiting for the service to start, get with the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, you're my teacher today. So whoever the speaker is behind the pulpit, I am coming to receive from you. So I expect to get something good from God. I will get something good from God today. And I open my heart. And Lord, if it's simply to be reminded of something that you have already told me, I want it. If it's something new that you want to teach me, I want it. And you're having this conversation with them to where now you're not just, it's not a spectator event. You're actually pulling and drawing on the Lord to talk to you. You will only receive according to your earnest expectation. Amen? Whether it's being reminded or whether it's being taught. So our attitude, our heart that we come together with is what really is critical to making it good. Because I've been in certain weekday meetings and stuff like that. I'll go to people's house and teach, and I've done these things over the year. And a lot of times, you know what? Those meetings end up being some of the better ones that I ever teach at. And you know why? Because as a general rule, the people that take an extra night during the week, when it's not normal church night, to come receive something from the Lord, have a certain sense of expectation. And you've sifted through a lot of the people that are there for the wrong reasons. And now the Lord's like, all right, I'm going to manifest myself to these people. Amen. That's what we need to do. We need to come together. Holy Spirit, I need you to teach me. I need you to remind me. And I'm going to do my best to help whoever's speaking and whatever the situation is to do even a better job because I'm coming to draw on it. Amen? You play a vital role in services such as these. So this is the Holy Spirit's commission to teach us, to remind us of these various things. He's going to remind you of things when you're in the day of trial. When you need it in order to live and combat the enemy, yes, praise the Lord. But he's also going to remind you of things to further cement that truth on the inside of you, further establish you in it, amen, and to stir you up to where it stays fresh and tasty on the inside of you, to where you don't become stagnant in your life. So do you want this from the Holy Spirit? Do all of you want the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life like this? Amen. We need this, saints. And this is something that, it might not be a pew-running message, you know? I mean, you know, it's not one of the ones that we get all excited about and everything like that, but it's one that's absolutely necessary to our life in order to be as nourished as we need. So let's stand on our feet. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.